All right, here's the thing. I haven't been writing a lot of poetry at all in the past 8 months. And I was going to, it's right, Peter. I'm glad Peter's here. He's my good luck charm. And I was going to cancel. But the thing is, I'm really spaced out, so I forgot to cancel. I'm not joking. Completely forgot to cancel. But there's been a lot of family things going on in my life. And luckily, I was over my parents' house, and we were going through old photographs and everything. And I found this poem that I wrote when I was about 8 years old. So that's the only poem I'm going to read tonight. I remember it was in school. I had no interest in poetry at all. Mrs. Fletcher, she said, you know, we're going to write poems. We all had to write poems. I told her, I don't really know how to write a poem, and she showed me different poems. I can't remember any of the poets that she showed me. But she said, she showed me a really long one. And I remember I liked it. And she said, yeah, you can write whatever. You don't have to rhyme. So you can just write about things that happen during your day. And that class happened to take place right before lunch. And she was like, it's like, you're going to go to lunch right now. She's like, you can just write about that. So, whoop. I got it. So this is the poem I wrote when I was about 8 years old. Ironically enough, it was 1987. Bart dropped that year. And then not only that, but Megan Tutelo, she brought up food a lot in her poems, and this is, all right, so this is, oh my God. All right,
it's called Meatloaf. And I think meatloaf is a very poetic kind of combination of words, meatloaf.
Okay. Today at school, they had meatloaf and mashed potatoes. We had a choice of apple juice or chocolate milk. I chose chocolate milk. I liked the funny brown cartoon cow on the front of the milk box. He was wearing sunglasses. The lunch lady told me she liked my new haircut, but she didn't notice my new shoes. I sat down with my friends at the lunch table and started to eat. I didn't like the meal. Everything tasted like shit. I wrote this last night. I turned to my friend Scotty McGee, sitting to my left. I said, Scotty, we're growing children. This food is obviously poisonous. You know, I read somewhere that the FDA is in cahoots with the world leaders. Scott said, you mean like our President Ronald Reagan and stuff? And I said, no, Scotty, God damn it, wake up, you fool. Listen to me. I'm talking about them, the secret leaders. They're the ones that start all these wars. And they are the ones that put that mind-controlling substance in our drinking water. And this food here, it's probably going to give us mental disorders, like OCD and bipolar disorder, anxiety, Lord knows what else. Then they'll stuff us full of pills to keep us confused and docile. We'll be like zombies, Scotty. You know, just staring at screens all day, repeating the same phrases over and over until they don't have any meaning anymore. And even if you do stand up and rebel, it'll be all for naught. Because that's exactly part of the plan, too. They will capitalize on our own revolution and turn it into something the media can use to manipulate us. They're going to give us reasons to hate each other, to divide us, to make more money for themselves. You know where it starts, Scotty? It starts with this fucking meatloaf right here. This vague, discolored lump, like the heart of a demon. The heart of some ancient evil beast that knows only greed and suffering. They're not feeding us meatloaf. They're feeding us demon hearts, Scotty. Demon hearts and mashed potatoes covered in gravy. There was a long pause as Scotty ruminated over this. Then Scotty said, I don't know, I kind of like it. The gravy's good. That's when I knew Scotty was gone. He was already lost in this horrible brainwashed facade we live in.
So I got up from the table and I walked outside and stood in the playground alone. It was empty except the janitor wringing out his mop a few doors down. There were dry leaves scraping across the concrete. I lit up a cigarette. I took a big drag and watched the smoke float away in the wind. I felt like that smoke. I felt like I was being blown away, unable to control which direction. Then I noticed the janitor was standing next to me holding his mop, like a wizard holding a staff. He was a tall, handsome man with salt and pepper hair. He had large, wise, knowing eyes. His name was Bart. Yeah. Bart said, "John, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm just trying to write this poem in my head. You know, Mrs. Fletcher, that old chunk of coal, she just assigned it in the class. She said it would be good to get my ideas and thoughts out." And Bart asked, "What do you have so far?" So I recounted the poem to him. He said, "You know, John, one day you're going to be standing in the back of a bar. And you're going to be drunk. And there's going to be a guy, a beautiful man with his hat turned backwards and a mustache standing right in front, sitting right in front of you. And you're going to be reading this poem to a group of people. And they're going to be thinking, how long can this go on? What the fuck is he doing?" And Bart looked at me real close and he said, "But don't let that stop you. Just keep on reading, John. Don't stop until you get to the end. Don't stop until you get your message out." And I said, "I will, Bart, the janitor, I will." And then Bart said, "What is your message, John?" And I said, My message is Scotty McGee is fucking full of shit. I know for a fact he doesn't even like meatloaf. He just doesn't want to piss off his mother because she's the fucking lunch lady. That's it.